The World This Week. Politics.
Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was humiliated by voters as his attempt to reverse the mayoral election in Istanbul, which his party had lost, backfired spectacularly. At his behest, the electoral board ordered a rerun, but this week the opposition challenger, Ekrem İmamoğlu, won by a much larger margin than in March, 54% to 45%.
After 3 weeks of talks that followed an election, Denmark's Social Democrats won the backing of smaller parties on the left to form a minority government headed by Mette Frederiksen as Prime Minister. The smaller parties agreed to support Ms. Frederiksen only after she promised to water down the hardline policies on immigration that her party had touted during the election.
Ukraine responded angrily to the decision of the Council of Europe, which is separate from the EU, to restore Russia's voting rights. But supporters of the move said this would ensure that Russian citizens could lodge claims against their government at the European Court of Human Rights, a body of the Council.
Dozens of schools were closed in France. Temperatures there and other European countries have soared above 40 degrees Celsius.
Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt emerged as the final two in the race to lead Britain's Conservative Party and thus become Prime Minister. Mr. Johnson is the favourite, but his bumbling style seems odd at a time of crisis. In an effort to revive his stumbling campaign, he declared that Britain must leave the EU on October 31st, do or die. That went down well with Tory party members.
North Korean media reported that the country's dictator Kim Jong-un had received an excellent letter from Donald Trump. In mid-June, Mr. Trump said that he had received a beautiful letter from Mr. Kim. The exchange suggests that talks between the pair on nuclear disarmament are making progress again.
The Australian Broadcasting Corporation said it would petition the courts to void a warrant that authorised the Australian police to raid its offices and seize documents related to a report it published in 2017 about abuses by Australian Special Forces in Afghanistan.
Jared Kushner unveiled the first half of the White House's peace plan for Israel and Palestine. It proposes $50 billion worth of investment in Palestine and neighbouring countries, but offers no solutions to the underlying conflict. Those are expected later. Neither the Israelis nor the Palestinians attended a conference in Bahrain showcasing the plan.